find a demographic that was underserved. And while there were no obvious holes, they targeted two. Baby boomers, a group now in its 40s and 50s, and thus neglected by the major networks and their advertisers, and women aged 18 to 34, a key advertiser demographic. The group could find no rationale for a broad family channel, which made little sense given cable's appeal to narrower interests and the wide range of alternatives already available. In the weeks after the retreat, Shapiro settled on the women's idea, a segment she knew well from her experience in daytime. The 18 to 34 age group also complemented Disney's existing properties, since the Disney Channel drew young viewers and ABC was skewing older. Her team named the prototype channel Pink and created a logo, branding, and marketing campaign and sample schedules. In August, she and her staff members met with Iger and Disney's general counsel, Alan Braverman, in Iger's conference room to unveil the new concept. "This is what we can be," Shapiro concluded. Braverman looked awkward. "There's one problem with this. We have an agreement with Hearst that we won't compete directly with Lifetime." Co-owned by Disney and Hearst, Lifetime was the leading cable channel aimed at women, though its audience skewed older than the target for Pink. The room fell silent. Were there loopholes? Braverman said he'd researched the agreement. Soon after, he delivered the verdict. Pink was out. Braverman said the decision was a business, not a legal decision, and that he and other executives were well aware that Pink posed a threat to Lifetime. So the family staff went back to the drawing board and developed another concept, still aimed at the 18 to 34-year-old post-MTV demographic, a Pink that would appeal to both men and women. It would be fun, sexy, with lots of reality, led by ABC's The Bachelor. The leading competitor for that demographic was Comedy Central, but it skewed male. The new channel was dubbed XYZ, an amusing alphabetical counterpoint to ABC. Shapiro gave another presentation in Iger's conference room, this time with Eisner present. Everything was done in blue and green, the colors of XYZ's new logo. "This is fantastic," Iger exclaimed. "You've nailed it." Eisner, too, said he loved it. He picked out the logo from several prototypes, slanted, spray-painted letters with a 1980s graffiti look. Even Braverman liked the idea. Now that she had Eisner's and Iger's backing, Shapiro organized a second presentation for Ann Sweeney and members of her cable group. When she and her staff finished, Sweeney spoke up. "I'm not sure, but I think our affiliates are telling us we have to keep this a family channel. This may be tough." "What do you mean?" Iger asked. "I didn't know this was the direction you were moving in. All the contracts say this has to be a family channel, or the affiliates can opt out," she said. Once again, the room fell silent. Sweeney suggested that Shapiro could try to slip the new programming into families' primetime slots without any marketing or advertising support. Perhaps the cable operators wouldn't notice, or by the time they did, ratings would be high enough that they wouldn't care. But Shapiro argued you couldn't raise ratings if you couldn't market the new shows. Braverman said he'd review the contracts. A few days later, he delivered the verdict. No to XYZ. Shapiro and her staff couldn't believe the issue of the channel's name change was only being confronted now and not before the acquisition.